أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات We were discussing in the light of this hadith the stages of sair wa suluk, the spiritual travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His closeness and proximity. And I mentioned to you in the previous lesson that every travel, logically speaking, has 8 steps. The first one being the mabda, the origin of a trip. The second, the muntaha, the destination. And the third is the masafat, the distance that has to be traveled in the trip. Fourth of all is the masir, means the route that we need to tread. Fifth of all is the zad, the necessary things that we need to carry that we stand in need during our travel. And the rahila is the sixth, means the means of transportation. And seventh of all is the rafiq, the companion of the trip, which Islam emphasizes not to go out alone on any trip. And eighth of all is the guide of the traveling. So these 8 points are equally valid for the spiritual journeys. And we have reached in our conversation to the fifth point, which was the zad, that means zad al-safar, means those are the things that are necessary for us to carry in this spiritual journey towards Allah's closeness. And Quran has said in Surah Al-Baqarah 197, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. So it's our obligation to gather the zad in the light of the verse. We are obliged to gather the zad, zad al-safar, and the best zad that we can gather and take along is taqwa. And when Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about the concept of taqwa, he has summarized the concept in a very strong statement and in a nutshell, where he says that أَنْ لَا يَفْقُدَكَ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكَ, that Allah doesn't miss you where He commanded you. وَلَا وَجَدَكَ وَلَا يَجِدُكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ, and Allah doesn't find you where He prohibited, where He banned on you. So all the things that Allah made wajib, you are found there doing those things. And all those things that Allah made haram, you are not found there performing any of those things. So basically, that's why our scholars of akhlaq say that the basic bare minimum definition required to fulfill the concept of taqwa is that we perform all the wajibs and abstain all the harams. Ityanul wajibat and ijtinab anil muharramat. When it comes down to that, obviously the role of knowledge kicks in, because you have to learn about the wajibat and you have to learn about the muharramat. Since the time we become Islamically mature and baligh, before our kids reach that age, we must empower them to learn about all the wajibs, the list of wajibs. There is no way we can escape without learning that. We need to learn what are the wajibat on our neck. Before my daughter or my son reaches the age of Islamic maturity, she should be empowered with that information, that she knows what is the list of wajibs and what's the list of harams, so she can avoid or he can avoid it. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam again has said, Man alima bima alima awrasahu Allahu ilma ma lam ya'lam. Whoever acts on what he knows, Allah makes him the inheritor. Allah gives him, in other words, gives him the knowledge of what he does not know. So there is much of those unknowns that we don't know as compared to our knowns. So we humans are ignorant, no matter what level of knowledge we may reach, and we stand in need of getting the information about the unknowns. So the key to getting the information is our taqwa, not turning to the books, which is only one of the list of the tools of learning in Islam, is through your eyes, looking towards the books, and through the ears, hearing from the scholars. You know, al-hawas al-khams, the five senses, is one of the three means that Islam promotes for learning knowledges. It's one of the three means, and that's the lowest of those three. The highest of the means is what we already discussed in one of the previous lessons, is the qalb, taharatul qalb. If we have the tazkiyatul nafs, Allah Himself, from His own divine flash of the lightning, al-ishraqul qalbi, teaches us what we need to learn. Man amila bima alima, Imam says, whoever acts on what he has learnt, Allah will provide him the knowledge of what he does not know. Al-ilmu yahtifu bil amal. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, knowledge shouts, screams, chants. You know, al-ilmu yahtifu. Knowledge is itself calling upon us to act upon it. In other words, so every knowledge, see, knowledge is a nur of Allah, comes from Allah into the soul. This knowledge itself speaks up. And it calls upon the person who carries the knowledge from God. It calls upon the person to act upon it. فَإِنْ أَجَابَهُ, if a person responds positively, in other words, the knowledge stays, the nur of knowledge stays in the soul. Because he responded positively, that means he acted upon the ilm. وَإِلَّا إِرْتَحَلَ. Imam says, if he doesn't respond positively, that means he doesn't act on what he has learned, the knowledge departs. The nur of knowledge is no longer found in the soul. Well, obviously, the people may continue to consider somebody as knowledgeable. Now, this is not part of the hadith I'm explaining to you. The people may continue to consider somebody as knowledgeable, but the real knowledge, which is the nur, has gone out because of the lack of practice. Then Imam says, La yaqbalu Allahu amalan illa bi ma'rifah. So see, we already got two steps closer. Step number one was seeking the knowledge. The bare minimum knowledge that we were supposed to seek was about the wajibat and the muharramat, for wajibat so that we can perform it, muharramat so we can avoid it. That's the bare minimum, that nobody can escape this much. Now that's the step number one, to learn this much knowledge. Step number two, after learning, knowledge itself is calling, hey, act upon me. If we act upon it, it stays in the soul. If we don't act upon it, it departs the soul. Step number two is practicing the knowledge, amal. Step number three is what Imam is mentioning here. La yaqbalu Allahu amala. Now you already practiced. Isn't that right? We are supposed to be such that after learning, we already practiced. Now that we practice, are we there yet? Is it done? We are not done yet, because Imam says, La yaqbalu Allahu amalan illa bima'rifa. Allah does not accept none of the actions except through ma'rifa. So we realize the third duty is that in addition to having the knowledge and the practice on the knowledge, we need to have the ma'rifat of the Imam of our time. Isn't that right? Ma'rifat of Allah. وَلَا مَعْرِفَةَ إِلَّا بِعَمَلٍ. Isn't that right? That again, this seems to be a door, what in philosophy we say, you know, we are going circles. So A depends on B and B depends on A, which is impossible and muhal to happen. But this is not door. Door is muhal in philosophy. This is not interdependent circle. You know, we are not going circles. So this is not door. What Imam alayhi salam says, وَلَا مَعْرِفَةَ إِلَّا بِعَمَلٍ. See, ma'rifat cannot be achieved except through the amal. If you practice, that's where you get the knowledge of the in-depth recognition of Allah. And like I already explained two or three Thursdays ago, that each of the stages of knowledge are further and further achieved through the practice. When we learn something, we learn the knowledge, then we practice upon it, and this practice will earn us the nur of ma'rifat. And the nur of ma'rifat will ask us, will give us, will generate the tawfiq from Allah to learn further high level of knowledge. And we will get the tawfiq to learn the further high level of knowledge. And that further high level of knowledge will again call upon us to act upon it. And if we act upon it, we have the amal, then this amal will again provide nur of ma'rifat from Allah into our soul. And this nur of ma'rifat will generate the tawfiq for us to learn the further high level of ilm. And that ilm will again call upon us to act upon it. So this is a chain reaction. Ilm and amal and ma'rifat. And ilm of further high level and amal and ma'rifat. And then ilm of further high level of and amal and ma'rifat. And so on it goes. وَلَا مَعْرِفَةَ إِلَّا بِعَمَلْ فَمَنْ دَلَّتْهُ الْمَعْرِفَةُ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ. So basically, فَمَنْ عَرِفَ دَلَّتْهُ الْمَعْرِفَةُ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ. Whoever has the ma'rifat, his ma'rifat guides him towards the action. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ فَلَا مَعْرِفَةَ لَهُ. Please pay attention. Whoever did not practice, that means didn't practice the knowledge that he learned, up till this day, whatever amount of ilm that you have learned from Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we all should pose the question to ourselves, did we practice that much? If we practice whatever knowledge we have learned by this date, then the nur of ma'rifat will be found in our souls from Allah. Certainly. If we did not practice whatever we have learned by now, then forget about having the ma'rifat in the qalb. Because وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ فَلَا مَعْرِفَةَ لَهُ. Whoever doesn't have the action, didn't practice, has nothing of ma'rifat with him. So ma'rifat comes after the action. Ma'rifat is the aftermath and result of your actions. أَلَا إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ بَعْضُهُ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. So iman, some of it is from some other part of it. So we learn, we get the various darajat and levels of iman through the previous level. We reach the higher level through the previous level. And then we receive the further high level through the previous level. And we maintain the previous level through our amal and actions. When this is clear, obviously, the role of tawbah will also be very clear, because we are sinners. We are sinners, we make mistakes, and our responsibility towards Allah is to do istighfar, whether the mistakes are related to our call, our speech and actions, our talk and conversations, or our amal and actions, or our fikr. In Islam, we have sins related to thinking as well, like hasad. Isn't it right? Hasad is never done outside. Hasad is something that we have deep in our hearts. And it's a bigger sin. And it categorizes a person to be fasiq and no longer called an adil person if he's having hasad and envy towards a fellow mu'min brother, for instance. This is one of the list of the sins that we have related to the fikr and tafakkur. So the sins are related to the qawl. That means orally we say things which are called, categorized to be sins, and amal, with our parts and limbs of the body, we perform actions which are called as sins, and fikr, we may think about certain things like hasad, you know, and bughd towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, for example, or even having bughd towards those who are, you know, the followers of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, if we know that this bughd actually returns back towards the bughd of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt themselves. So this is condemned. So all these three kinds of categories of sins need to be avoided so we can become mahbub and beloved of Allah, because Quran has said, in Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. So Allah loves those who perform the tawbah a lot. Tawwab in Arabic is the siratul mubalagha. You know, somebody who constant in the mu'mina, hadith says, in the mu'mina mufattanun tawwab. Mu'min is constantly put to test and he constantly keeps on doing the tawbah. Which in the tafsir, our scholars say that a person, a mu'min who keeps on doing various sins, when he faces various tests in life and he, you know, ends up doing sins, but as long as he keeps on doing the tawbah after the sin, he's still okay. Obviously, at the time of doing tawbah, we don't have the intention to do the sin again. Then if we have the intention that we will do the sin again tomorrow, then this is not called to be a tawbah. The real tawbah is that we don't have the intention of returning back to the sin when we are doing the tawbah. So our a'mal are going to be weighed on the day of judgment, except one of the things which will not be weighed. There is only one action which will not be weighed on the day of judgment. So that's why our urafa say, you know, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Hassan Zada Amuli Hafadahullah, one of our great scholars who are an urafa who are alive. And he's called as, you know, some call him as, you know, like Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi of our times, because he is one of those unique personalities who has, who is called as one who has, you know, all those uloom, jami' of jami' al-uloom. So in one of his statements, he said that Tayyul Manazil, traveling into various spiritual levels is not possible without the Nafi and Isbat, without negating and proving. What he means by the Nafi and Isbat is the same thing that I mentioned earlier, that same thing which is not going to be weighed on the Day of Judgment. So Ahlullah say, those who belong to Allah say that none of the azkar and ibadat, none of the phrases of remembrance of Allah, or none of the worships in Islam are can have that kind of asar and impact on the ruhaniyat of the person. None of the ibadat and none of the azkar, the phrases of remembrance, can have that much impact on the ruhaniyat of the person, on the spirituality of the person, as the kalima of La ilaha illallah has. That means this carries a lot of weight. When a great arif is mentioning this, his point, it carries a lot of weight. We must give importance to what he says. So he says the highest asar is what belongs to this kalimatun tayyibah, which is considered in the considered to be basically the highest statement uttered by any person. Isn't it right? The Prophet has said in his hadith, مَا قُلْتُ وَلَا الْقَائِلُونَ قَبْلِي مِثْلَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That means neither me nor any Prophet ahead of me had ever uttered a statement as high, any statement similar to La ilaha illallah. That means that is the most superior sentence uttered by anyone. And that is La ilaha illallah. Now let's go to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where he says, and كُلُّ حَسَنَةٍ يَعْلَمُهَا الرَّجُلُ تُؤْزَنُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا شَهَادَةُ اللَّهِ إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Every good deed that يَعْمَلُهَا الرَّجُلُ, I'm sorry, كُلُّ حَسَنَةٍ يَعْمَلُهَا الرَّجُلُ, every good deed that a man performs will be weighed on the Day of Judgment, except the witness of La ilaha illallah. So when we bear the witness, there is no God worthy of worshipping except Allah. This shahadat and witness is not going to be weighed on the Day of Judgment. Basically, it cannot be weighed. So let's go back to the hadith. Prophet says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تُوضَعُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ, because it is not going to be put in the scale. So on the Day of Judgment, there is a scale, and all the actions will be put on the scale to be weighed. Isn't it right? So this thing is something which is not going to be put, your belief and your shahadat and witness of La ilaha illallah is never going to be put in the scale to be weighed. لِأَنَّهَا, Prophet said, لَوْ وُضِعَتْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ, if وَوُضِعَتِ السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرَضُونَ السَّبْعُ فِي وَمَا فِيهِنَّ, this shahadat, this witness is placed in one side of the mizan, of the scale, is placed in the scale, and on the other side, in other words, you put all the samawat, all the seven heavens, wal arahuna sab, all the seven earths, you put them on the other side, wama fihinna, and everything which is in it. Everything in it includes all the human beings, isn't that right? The jinns, the birds, the fishes, all the living organisms, the entire world of matter, plus all the malaika and angels, and everything which is inside it is obviously includes all the prophets of God and all the messengers and all imams and shuhada and siddiqeen and salihin, everybody, isn't that right? They all are they all are included at the moment. كَانَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَرْجَحُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So La ilaha illallah will still be carrying more weight than all that. So you can understand the weight of La ilaha illallah. Let's go back to what the Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh Hasan Zada Amuri was saying, that all the tayyul manazil, all the stages that we cross in sair and suluk, require this nafi and isbat, that we have the, our qalb becomes mutajalli, our qalb has the tajalli of La ilaha illallah in the qalb, negating all the taghuts, all the false gods, all the hawa nafs, the human desires, and all that people worship and all that people take as an obstacles that block them from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falls in the category of ilah. Isn't that right? So everything that we take as our own desires and wishes are actually our own sanam and idol that a human will be worshipping if it blocks us from Allah's ibadat. So this negation, negating the false gods and taghuts, and unfortunately you find so many of the Islamic centers where there's a ban to talk about the atrocities of Tawhid, isn't it right? And they claim to be Muslims or Shias. And they have put an unofficial ban that you cannot talk about any taghut in this center. That means we could not understand the meaning of La Ilaha yet. How in the world would we pave the way for Illallah to arrive? Illallah comes after La Ilaha. And that's what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah was saying, that Rutbatut Tabarri Muqaddamatun Ala Rutbatut Tawalli. You have to first do the bara'at from the tawaghit and the a'da and enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and then you will pave the way for the tawalli, for the izhar of balayat towards Ahlul Bayt. I love Imam Ali alayhi salam. Well, don't mention that right now. First prove to us, did you do the bara'at from the tawaghit? First things first. Because La ilaha is first and Allah comes later. So Ayatullah Hukma Shaykh Hassan Zada Amuli was saying that all the Tayyul Manazil require the Nafi and Isbat. That means negating first and then doing the Isbat. That means proving and certifying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the walayat of Allah, the supremacy of Allah is there. My qalb is supervised, governed, ruled over, and administered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commands. When my qalb is ruled over by Allah, then everything else that I do in my life will also be in sync. So we find our own previous sins actually are the reason why people are unable to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our own previous sins deprive us from the further stages of tawfiq from Allah. Just like for the sake of kuffar. Look at the ayat of Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 6 and 7. Allah is talking about kuffar. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 6. Those who did the kufr, whether you warn them about the punishment of Allah, in other words, or you don't warn them, they are not going to believe. They are not going to become mu'min. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ Whether you warn them, أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ Or you don't warn them about the azab and punishment of Allah, they are not going to believe. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Why? The reason is mentioned right after this statement. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah has sealed their souls. That's the reason why they are not going to believe. Let's understand. Let's realize instead of reinventing the wheel. Let's understand. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ Allah has sealed their hearts and their ears. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ And there is a curtain on their ears. There is a curtain. Rishawa means a curtain. There is a curtain over their ears. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ And they have a great... Yeah. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ رِشَاوَةٌ So there is... did I say something else? Oh, I'm sorry. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ رِشَاوَةٌ أَحْسَنٌ So there is a curtain on their eyes. So if you, they have a curtain on their eyes, obviously, then they will be unable to see. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ And they have a great punishment. So this is about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about the kuffar. Let's have a look about what Allah is saying about the munafiqeen. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 18, when it comes to the munafiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something which proves that munafiqeen, our scholars say in the tafsir, which proves that this becomes even worse than the kuffar. Isn't it right? So Allah says, summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un. So they don't listen, they are deaf, and they don't speak, so they are dumb. And they don't see, so they are blind. وَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ They are not going to return back. So, the difference between... obviously, Allah doesn't provide Allah doesn't deprive anybody from His rahmat. Unless we ourselves become ahl, to become the mahroom and deprived of His rahmat because of our previous sins, because we did not do tawbah from the previous sins. So this is our own fault, because despite the warnings from Allah, we did not heed to any of the previous warnings. We did not do the tawbah. Finally, a time arrives, Allah stops providing His rahmat and the tawfiq, and the person is left up to his own self. And this is what Prophet has already prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma la takilna ila anfusina tarfata aynin abada. Oh my Lord, don't submit me, don't give me the charge of my affairs into my own control for the blinking of an eye. That's basically, we understand that if a person is subjected to his own control, this is a spiritual devastation in halakat al-nafs. So, our scholars say the illat and cause of ma'siyat and ita'at are two different things, two different causes. It's not the same. The illat and cause of the ma'siyat, the person himself is entirely responsible for that, not Allah. What causes the humans to do the sins is their attachment towards madda and matter. Because their qalb has zulmat, inclination towards darkness. Any attachment towards the world of matter and its belongings translates in ilmul irfan as zulmat and darkness found in your soul. That darkness is pulling you towards further darkness. If you had noor of ita'at, the noor will be pulling you towards further gaining higher levels of noor. So the reason and cause of a person doing the sin is the attachment towards the world of matter, attachments towards the zulmat and darkness, and the haywani, the animalistic desires that a person has. So this is the illat when it comes to the ma'siyat and sinning towards Allah. When it comes to the ta'at and obedience of Allah, the illat of that is actually Allah Himself. It's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His tawfiq and rahmat that a person gets strong enough to do the obedience of Allah. Let's go to the Holy Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse 79. Ma asabaka min hasanatin fa min Allah. Quran says, we learn in light of this verse that any good deed that we perform, it is from Allah. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. And any good deed, that any bad deed that we perform, it is from our own selves. That's what our scholars say in the tafsir. Every bad action, we are entirely responsible. Allah is not the fa'il al-shar. He never asked us to do any evil. And any wrong, any good deed that we perform, obviously it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just that, Allah's tawfiqat date back to long durations before our creation into this world. Look at what we read in the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. The ta'yidat from Allah, His divine ghaibi assistances which Allah provides to those who are muti and obedient according to His ilmul ghaib. Those who will be muti' and obedient after they are being created tomorrow. Allah knows that in advance. Based on His ilmul ghaib, Allah provides His ta'yidat and assistances to some people because of their own good deeds tomorrow, which Allah knows in advance. So we say to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Ashhadu annaka kunta nuran fil aslab ash-shamiha. I bear witness that you used to be a noor in the earlier, in the aslab, in the sulb, in those illuminous sulb where Imam Hussain Islam's noor was, he was used to be the noor of Allah in those lineages of his ancestors. Wal arham al mutahhara, and in the wombs of the clean mothers. So this is why Imam Hussain Islam, we address him by saying that statement. So the illat and cause of our obediences is the tawfiqat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we gain based on our previous obedience. And the illat of and the cause of our sins is our own shahawat, hawa nafs, our desires, our likeness, things that we want to do on our own. Because I like to do that. That's my own opinion. Whatever we like to do is obviously because of the attachment towards the matter. So obviously nothing is beyond the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the case when a person is doing the sin, it's also within the framework of Allah's qudrat. Nobody can escape Allah's qudrat. So that's what our scholars say in the tafsir. The ayat of Quran says, "Khatam Allahu ala qulubihim." Instead of using the sigatul majhul, Allah is using the sigatul ma'loom. "Khatam Allahu ala qulubihim." Allah seals the hearts, seals their hearts. So it's the isnad, the nisbat is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although they themselves are liable for their sins, but the isnad is going towards Allah. So our scholars say nothing is beyond the qudrat of Allah. Otherwise the illat of the masiyat is not returning back to Allah. They themselves are liable for their wrongs, not Allah. So the khatm and the ghishawa, the seal on the hearts and the curtain on their eyes, it's all because of their own sins. So the difference between a munafiq and a kafir is clear in the light of these two verses. Munafiq is the person who has naqsul uzl. Our scholars say in the tafsir that those parts of his body are naqis. So Allah says summun bukmun umyun. So these people, so basically they have the ears, but the ears are naqis and defective. It's unable to hear what he was supposed to hear, isn't it right? And bukman, that means he has the power to speak, but he's dumb. He doesn't utilize the power given by Allah to say and speak up what he was supposed to say and speak up. And umyun, that means he's blind. That means he has the eyes, but he doesn't have the guts and courage to see what he was supposed to see. He sees the rest of the things, but he's not ready to see what he was supposed to see. So there's a naqs in the uzl, in the those parts of the body. And that naqs is the mani, an obstacle in the way of obedience of Allah for the munafiq. Whereas in the kuffar, we don't learn there's a naqs in their parts of the body in the light of the verse. We learn that parts of the body are fine without any naqs. It's just there's a seal and a curtain. There's a difference between what Allah talks about kuffar and munafiqeen. Munafiqeen have a naqs in those parts of their body. There's a kuffar, we don't learn there's a naqs. What we learn is that there is just a khatm and a ghishawa, a curtain. And this curtain, obviously, we have to do the tawbah. And I'm ending the speech now. We have to do the tawbah to reverse this situation. Because the warnings have already been given to us. So if a person heeds to the warnings and performs the tawbah, he always returns back. This requires what I will end my speech on, this hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Where Imam alayhi salam says from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that somebody asked the Prophet, "Ayyul mu'minina akyas," which of the believers are the most intelligent, the smartest? Everybody has very different definition who is smart, isn't it right? People of dunya say, if you can make a huge amount of money, you know, a nice house to live in, a big mansion and a nice car, you are a very smart guy. And that's their criteria, isn't it right? You can make a big amount of money. So anyway, let's go to the definition of Rasulullah, who he considers to be the smartest person. So prophets, when somebody asked him which of the mu'mineen is the smartest, prophet said, "Aksaruhum zikran lil maut." Someone who remembers the death more than the rest. If you remember the death more than the rest of the people, you are the smartest of all the mu'mineen. Wa ashadduhum
lahu isti'dadan.
And the one who is more prepared towards the death. Someone who remembers the death more than others, and someone who is more strictly prepared for the death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, so we can gain the Zad al-Safar successfully, which is taqwa. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin. Let's read the dua, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal Muslimin, wakhzul al-kuffar wal munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-din, wakhzul man khazal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'an al-Rabbaniyin wa maraji'an al-Rabbaniyin. لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين